Hey everybody, it's Brandon with Cigars and Cinema, and I'm talking to you today before we start about one of our sponsors, Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge in Richardson, Texas. These guys have been supporting our podcast for years, back in the day when it was the Calypso Cigar Review Show, and now as Cigars and Cinema. So we'd really appreciate it if you would support them. Give Matt over there at the Calypso Cigar Shop and Lounge a call at 972-761-9903 and order some cigars. And hey, it's a great shop full of great people and great cigars, and we appreciate the support. Now on to the show.
Cigars in Cinema.
Will you bring in the cigars, please?
The movie review podcast that tackles the smoky side of cinema.
Cigar, Mike!
Each week, we review a movie that contains, in some way, shape, or form, someone smoking a cigar.
Cigars.
Fire is good.
We'll talk about who smoked it, where they smoked it, how they smoked it, and we'll probably make fun of them if they have no idea what they're doing.
What are you doing? You never light a cigar that way.
So sit back, light up, and enjoy the podcast that has it all. Cigars.
Cigar. Smoke it.
Smoke it.
Movies.
Say hello to my little friend!
And General Mayhem.
My doggie! Wah!
We are back.
Back.
Cigars in Cinema. I am Brandon Luna.
Randy Rankin.
And this is the last episode of Cigars in Cinema the way that you know it now.
Right.
I think we've only had probably six episodes, so it didn't last very long.
We got canceled.
No, yeah.
No. We canceled ourselves.
Yeah, the internet canceled us. So, yeah. But no, so the show's always been like we review a movie that has cigars in it, and then we talk about the blah, 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 all that stuff. Well, we decided that we just wanted to do a show that's more just about what we're watching this week and BS and whatever. Kind of back,
guy stuff.
Yeah, guy stuff. Back to the way we used to be with the Calypso Cigar Review. We missed that format. So this is the last one we're doing specifically for a movie that has cigars in it, and we're doing a movie that is relevant to the time,
yes.
Given that 4th of July is right around the corner.
Yep.
Independence Day.
20-year anniversary. That is so weird.
It is very weird, yeah.
Jeez.
And now they got the new one coming out, Independence Day Resurgence, which I heard bombed at the box office.
It bombed relatively.
Yeah.
Did $41 million. That's pretty good on an opening weekend.
Yeah.
But when the budget's the movie, like $200 million.
Exactly.
But it did do $100 million overseas.
Yeah.
So it's at $140 total right now.
Well, everybody likes America getting blown up overseas. So yeah, they're all for that. They like to watch that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I had a line, but I'm not going to use it.
No, go ahead.
$60 million if it came from Muslims.
Oh, wow. Wow. You are now on the list, sir. Yeah. There's a jihad on you.
Yeah, you're going to edit that one out.
No, I'm not. That's all.
Yeah, I'm Brandon Luna, and
no,
I just said
you don't,
that.
You don't fly. No. You don't fly anywhere, so you're probably good.
I'm flying next week.
Oh, are you? No, that's right. Yeah, that's where they're going for, man. They're hitting all
Let's
the airports
tell,
up.
We're not going to say where we're going.
Yeah,
we're
going. They got Turkey now. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
Sad story there.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's freaking crazy, man. It's getting dangerous to live in this world. I mean, it always has been, but it's like
I mean,
it's smaller.
You can't even
go
to a disco and party with your friends.
I know.
It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's bad news all around.
All right, so we'll perk this show back up.
So Independence Day was one of those movies that was a tentpole movie at the time. It was one of those big summer blockbusters, and you know, there's a lot going on in that film, and it's one of those ones where there's like a million different characters and a million different plots.
Yeah.
But I thought it actually worked pretty well.
They pulled it together real well.
Yeah, and I saw it recently, and it does age pretty well. It's not too bad. The special effects still look pretty good because there's a lot of in-camera stuff that they did with the, you know, ships and the creatures and stuff like that. So it's not all CGI.
Right.
Which makes me wonder how the new one holds up as far as if it's like major CGI or if there's still...
I don't know. I haven't read that part.
Yeah, I haven't read it either. So. Yeah. But I know that, $41 million is okay. They were hoping for $100 million opening to make their money back. I think they'll make their
against,
money back.
They opened it up against, what was the movie?
That it opened up against?
Yeah.
You got me.
Well, it's the biggest movie in the land, and we don't know it.
We don't. Shoot. No, we're not big box office movie guys,
no.
I guess. I don't know.
Wasn't it a cartoon?
Secret Lives of Anne.
Finding Dory?
Finding Dory, that's the
right,
one, yeah. So Finding Dory kicked the crap out
that
of it.
That was a dumb move to put it up against that. You knew that was going to be a smash.
Exactly. You know. Every parent has to take their kids to see that at least once, probably twice.
God.
So, yeah, you're kind of out.
They I'm so glad I don't have kids.
Pushed it a weekend. I haven't seen it yet. Surprisingly, I haven't seen Finding. I'm sure I will this weekend. I haven't seen it yet. But I like most of the Pixar movies, so I'm okay with them because there's usually a lot of humor for adults in there.
Finding Nemo wasn't bad, actually, I have to admit.
Yeah.
So why don't you give the plot to Independence
Day? So Independence Day is pretty easy. Basically, the idea here is that aliens are finally here,
and we no longer have to ask the question, is there life in other planets? And because they're down here. So
would have been a nicer way to find out than what happens.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So Bill Pullman's the president, and his approval ratings are in the tank. You know, he's not doing well. And these aliens come, and it's, you know, basically an opportunity for him to shine and show what he's made of. He was an ex-military guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of parallels with George Bush, and that, like, we wanted a warrior and we got a wimp. You know, old George Bush days, senior.
Right.
And, you know, so there's that thing going on with him and his character. Then you got Will Smith and his little family unit, and he's dating a stripper, and he's got a kid that he likes, and, you know, he's getting called out to go fight these aliens, and Harry Connick Jr.'s in there. So, and Randy Quaid
last big relevant role.
Yeah, like pre-crazy role.
Yeah.
Was that after or before?
Oh, it was definitely before.
Christmas Vacation?
Yeah, it was after Christmas Vacation.
Okay, so yeah. So that's basically, the plot's pretty simple. Aliens are attacking.
You forgot Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum's in there, And Jeff Goldblum is this nerd guy who finds out that there is a countdown that's hidden in the satellites, and he's trying to get to his ex-wife, who happens to work for the president, of course.
Right.
And tell them about it.
Who played his ex-wife?
Some chick, I don't know.
Vivica Fox is in it.
Uh-huh. She is.
Did you mention Will Smith?
I did mention Will Smith, who is not in the sequel, which I'm kind of wondering if...
That probably hurt
his choice. You know, you gotta ask yourself though, how much success has Will Smith had lately?
Not a lot, but in that movie, when you're reprising a role.
I think that would have pushed it over the 100 million mark if he had been part of it again.
Right.
But if you look at his list of movies lately, like the last movie that he had that probably hit it out of the, you know, park as far as box office is concerned, was probably Men in Black 3.
Yeah.
Men in Black 3 did okay. Mm-hmm. It was a hit for him. Hancock was a hit for him. He had 7 pounds in there. After Earth, which was a huge flop. Winter's Tale, which I don't even know what the hell that is. Focus was a flop. And then Concussion was supposed to be his Oscar run.
Yeah, and it didn't
do much at all. So, I don't know. I mean, I think he should have done it. I think I don't know if it was not an option, if they just didn't even write him in the script.
Or I think he turned it down, is what I heard.
Is that what you think it was?
I think that's what happened, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. Do you know anything about that? We just had another rep walk in, Trey Andrews from the EP Carrillo.
Was it a money thing?
Okay.
His money. Will Smith wanted more money.
He wanted 60. Okay.
He wanted 60 million. He wanted more than they made the first opening weekend. Wow. Yeah. Good luck there, Will Smith.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah. So he's not in it. His son's not even in it. Which
I was just getting ready to say. Thank God his son's not in it.
Yeah. As the kid or something growing up. But yeah. So the kid's growing up. He's fighting the war for his dad now, and I guess he dies in an accident trying to learn how to fly the alien spacecraft is the story that they're going with.
Oh, is that what
for this? Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, but yeah, the original Independence Day was a fun movie. It was one of those, you know, big blockbuster hit things. And they got to blow up every single freaking, you know, thing that you could think of that you'd want them to blow up, like the White House. And
that was the one that jarred me the most was the White House. It was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is real. This is, you know, this shit's really hitting the fan now, you know.
Right. But, yeah. And there is cigars in it. Now, I'm not going to get into the details and the minutiae of where it is, but Will Smith and Harry Connick have a thing where they go to battle and they have a cigar ready for after the battle.
Right.
And Will Smith does get to smoke his in the film. Unfortunately, Harry Connick, spoiler alert from a 20-year-old movie, dies and does not get to smoke his. But his was in Tubo, so it might be somewhere in the desert.
Somewhere.
Still sitting there.
And then that's when... Will Smith does that cheesy line that everyone loves. And even when it happened, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And he beats up the alien and says, oh, could have been at a barbecue.
Like, yeah, exactly.
God, what a terrible line. But the theater, like, exploded with laughter when I'm like going, oh, and I'm rolling my eyes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, me in action, stuff like that. I actually looked forward to that movie. My wife and I just got together. We just started dating.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to see it. And the only thing I didn't like about it was Independence Day. That's how they were advertising it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you drive by a theater marquee, it'd be ID4, and I'd be like, what the hell is ID4?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant.
I think the title was too long or something. Or,
exactly.
So they changed it to ID4. Yeah. But, you know, it was a fun movie. It was fun. Randy Quaid plays crazy in it, so he probably didn't have to stretch too much for that role. And plays a guy that supposedly was taken by aliens originally and, you know, knows about him and stuff.
Now he wants to get revenge.
He wants to get revenge for all the anal rape that he endured at the aliens' fingertips.
Right.
So, I mean, it's an interesting movie. It's a fun movie. Roland Emmerich is one of these directors like Michael Bay that really likes to destroy stuff.
Yeah.
So he's done, he's had a lot in his list of movies there that involve that type of thing. you know, it is a fun movie. I caught it on an airplane, and it was heavily edited. So when I got to the hotel, I looked it up and watched it elsewhere. And it's, you know, it's a fun movie. Jeff Goldblum's good in it. It was, you know, Jeff Goldblum in his heyday when he was still doing a lot of movies and, you know, when he was kind of the hot thing at that point. So you had a lot of known actors in a film, mm-hmm. you know, it was going to be a big hit, and there was really no way it could fail. So
and what happened to Bill Pullman? He lands this huge role and
yeah, and then a bunch of nothing. Yeah.
He was in Wyatt Earp the year before, had a good part in Wyatt Earp, and then this, it looked like, okay, his career's getting going. I was in that While You Were Sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good little run
romantic
there.
Comedies and stuff. Yeah. And then he kind of just went poof.
Yep. Disappeared.
Yeah.
And his wife was played by the girl that was, Stands with a Fist and Dances with Wolves. What is her name?
Oh, the president's wife. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So Roland Emmerich, let's give you an idea of the movies that he's directed so you can see how much stuff he's blown up here. So this guy is, he did Universal Soldier. So that was one of the good movies with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Then he did Stargate, which I thought was his best movie. I really liked Stargate. I thought it was fun.
I didn't want to see it, but I wound up liking it.
Yeah, the idea was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, Independence Day was the next one after that. Then he did The Horrible Godzilla, which was crap, the one with Matthew Broderick.
I saw 5 minutes of it.
The Patriot, which I liked The Patriot.
Oh, he did The Patriot?
Yeah, he did The Patriot. That was probably his most dramatic you know, movie, but it still had a lot of battle scenes in it and stuff like that. So, with the late, great Heath Ledger and the man who will not be named because he's a racist.
The late, great Mel Gibson,
yeah. The Day After Tomorrow, which was another big let's destroy the world thing.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, that was crap. Yeah, 10,000 BC, which was also crap. And then 2012, which was more crap. Destroying the world crap. Yeah.
I wanted to see that, but it was crap.
And then he did one that was probably the most different movie he's ever done. And I actually liked the movie. I don't think it did very well box office-wise, but it was called Anonymous. And it was about the story of, you know, basically there's a whole group of people that believe that William Shakespeare didn't actually write these plays.
I remember reading about that.
Yeah, it's that story about that. And it's a cool flick.
Right.
Then he came back with another Let's Destroy the World Again with White House Down, which I never saw, and then Independence Day. So,
okay.
Does a lot of that type of movies. So he's the, I guess, the kinder, gentler, you know, Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Michael Bay doesn't have a plot in his movies, just a lot of stuff exploding. At least Roland Emmerich has some semblance of a plot in his films.
And I've never been a Jeff Goldblum fan. He annoyed me in this movie, because he annoys me in most everything. I get that he's a good actor, but I think he's one of those actors that suffers from the, oh, everyone says I'm a good actor, so I must be a good actor.
Right.
And he kind of plays an actor acting is what it seems like to me.
He always just plays Jeff Goldblum to me. He's one of those, he's more of than an actor.
That's what I think. He carries himself as an actor, so he's just playing himself. I'm the actor.
Yeah, exactly. And he does the same little nuances. He has that cadence that he does, and he talks like this, and he goes up and down, and it's like just always, you know. Uh-huh. And he does this finger thing. He's like, what?
Right.
There's almost like a sort of a Donald Trump kind of finger thing going on.
Right.
And it gets annoying.
And that little computer that he does is going to.
Yeah. That was the plot device that just like, okay, so these guys have. Well, first off, this is what bugged me about this movie. And we'll get into some, you know, trivia and stuff. But, you know, this is the problem I had with it. And you can't go into this type of movie with these criticisms because then you're not going to enjoy the movie.
Right.
But it's one of those afterwards you think about it and you go, you know what? Screw this movie. You know, it's just like, so the aliens came down in the 50s and they left a ship and it's the same technology that they have now, you know, whatever, 60, 70 years later.
Right.
So aliens haven't advanced.
Well, 96 would not have been 70 years later.
Well, you know what I mean.
Okay, go ahead.
You know what I mean. So a bunch of years later, they come back, they still have the same technology. And we haven't figured it out at all. So that's stupid. I mean, if they got people working on it from day one, they would have figured some stuff out.
Right.
They didn't figure anything out. And then for them to, you know, basically have their defenses, you know, done in by a virus.
A virus that he puts in with this little tiny laptop thing.
Come on.
That probably was like 112 megabytes.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at their, like, if you look at their language on the keyboards of the ships and stuff, it's not numbers. There's no letters. It's like, how would we even be able to get into that?
You know,
how would we have the Wi-Fi key to get into that?
Exactly.
Just so stupid.
Yeah, it was.
But it's the same War of the Worlds, you know, it's the same thing. It's instead of a, you know, literal virus that kills them, it's a computer virus. So.
Right.
Which I guess is better than the other version of Signs where it was water that killed them.
Yeah, like water.
The most retarded, you know, plot twist ever. They get killed by water. Oh, yeah, so good idea. Come to a planet where it's like 60% water.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't think that works.
Wasn't water the thing in Unbreakable too?
I don't know.
Wasn't Samuel L. Jackson character?
No, it was Glass. He was called Mr. Glass because he couldn't touch anything touched him. He like diet or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something stupid.
Like
that. I don't know.
Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan is a whole other issue there.
One good movie.
Director that makes
just, well, two good movies.
Yeah, I liked Signs. I liked Sixth Sense. That was really about it. Unbreakable had its moments, but overall,
I don't think I've seen any of the others.
You're not missing much.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The Village was retarded.
I tried to watch Lady in the Water, and I got about 15
that
minutes
horrible,
into that.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible movie.
Yep.
So, yeah, he does a lot of wonky stuff. But Roland Emmerich, you know, he's got a pretty good track record for making hits, but all of his movies are very much end-of-the-world stuff. So, yeah, what can you do? So Will Smith smokes the cigars, and then you also have a general or somebody military guy that smokes cigars in there, too. So there's a good amount of cigars
smoking
in there.
Randy Quaid doesn't smoke any?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Kind of picks, that could be thinking of Cousin Eddie.
He might, I think he may have had one in his mouth and he like falls out of the plane or something. Yeah. So, yeah, but fun movie.
It's fun. I enjoyed it, and I will see the new one.
Yeah.
Even though it's not my cup of tea, but I'm going to see it.
Yeah, I'll see it eventually. I'll probably see it on video.
Now the thing is, they said that I read somewhere that the trailer was boring. I thought the trailer, at least I didn't see any of the other trailers, but the trailer they showed during the Super Bowl got me really pumped. I was ready to see it right then.
Hmm.
I don't know if they changed the trailer after that, but I've read that the trailer had a lot to do with the poor turnout. So you never know.
I don't know. I just think that I think Will Smith not being in it kind of turned people off. They're like, oh, Jeff Goldblum's old now, and you know, who else is in this? Nah, I'll pass. So I don't know. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, people,
you never know. You see movies and you think, oh man, that's going to be a hit, and it bombs. And you see movies, go, who in the world is going to watch that? And then next thing you know, it's $400 million movie.
Yeah. You never can
you
tell.
You never know.
You never can tell.
We got trivia?
I do. I got lots of trivia. So the scene in which Will Smith drags the unconscious alien across the desert was filmed at the Salt Flats near Salt Lake in Utah.
Okay.
Smith's line, and what the hell is that effing smell, was unscripted. So, yeah, that was a good line, but the other one about I need to be...
I could have been at a barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was terrible.
So, director Roland Emmerich was notified one day that Robert Loggia was very upset and refused to leave his trailer. Days early, producer Dean Devlin accidentally suggested to Loggia that he watched Airplane for inspiration when he actually intended to suggest Airport 1970. Not familiar with either film, Loggia rented Airplane and after watching it thought he had unknowingly been participating in the production of a spoof movie. Wow. Can you imagine Robert That's Loggia hilarious. Playing it as Don't Call Me Shirley.
Yeah, playing it like Leslie Nielsen.
Wow. According to producer, co-writer Dean Devlin, the U.S. military had agreed to support the film by allowing the crew to film on military bases, consulting the actors who had military roles, etc. However, after learning of the Area 51 reference in the script, they withdrew their support. Ooh, I wonder why.
Really?
Because Area 51 maybe really exists. I'm just saying.
Don't say it.
Yeah, who knows? Producer Dean Devlin said that well over half of the dialogue in the scenes Jeff Goldblum shared with Judd Hirsch and Will Smith were improvised.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Judd Hirsch has a great line in there on the airplane when he talks about JFK.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, JFK was only this age. And then he got killed in Dallas in a by sniper. Very sad. Just like the way he says it was just like totally.
Yeah, his delivery of lines are really good.
The president's speech was filmed on the 6th of August, 1995, in front of an old airplane hangar. The hangar once housed the Enola Gay, which dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima exactly 50 years earlier on August 6th, 1945. Ooh.
50 years later?
Yeah, wow. 50 years. Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
That's kinda, and kind of probably creepy, too. I don't know if they told them that when they were filming that there. But yeah. So the main helicopter used during the welcome wagon operation was a Sikorsky... I can't even say that word, S-64 Sky Crane, which was outfitted with an array of flashing lights. That also bugged me. What the hell? They think flashing lights is going to tell them, hey, didn't say hello or anything. It was just a bunch of flashing lights. In the commentary, Dean Devlin said that when they first test flew the helicopter with the lights on it, over 150 calls were received in Orange County from callers who spotted a helicopter and were unsure if they were reporting a UFO sighting.
I've heard that before, yeah. I could see that.
Holds the record for most miniature model work to appear in one film. They did blow up a lot of stuff. Yeah. So, due to the advances in digital technology since the film's release, most experts believe this record may stand forever.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mary McDonnell, one we're talking about, accepted a role immediately after her agent pitched the film by simply saying it's about 15 mile wide spaceships. So I guess that got her wet in the in the trousers. Jeez. Jeff Goldblum uses one of his lines from Jurassic Park in the film, must go faster, must go faster.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember him saying
that. I don't
that.
Remember that in Jurassic Park. I remember him saying it.
Yeah. Independence Day. The film was banned in Lebanon under pressure from Hezbollah because it included scenes where Israel and Iraqi soldiers joined forces in a montage where militaries around the world signed onto a U.S. plan to counterattack the alien forces. So, yeah, of course.
I would like to think that if this were happening, that we would, as a human race, would band together. But, yeah, that probably would happen that way. They probably wouldn't.
Right, right, right. So, in the final sentence of the president's speech was not in the original script and was added at the last minute for dramatic effect in an effort to convince 20th Century Fox to not to avoid a legal battle to earn the right to the name Independence Day. At the time, the production was nicknamed ID4 because Warner Brothers owned the rights to the title Independence Day. Mm. And Dean Devlin had hoped that Fox executives had noticed the additional dailies and the impact of the new dialogue would help them win the rights to the title. Wow. So they eventually won the rights to the title 2 weeks later, like before the release. So that's probably why it was advertised as ID4 so long.
Yeah.
Wow. So the character of President Whitmore was originally intended to be a Richard Nixon-like figure. The role was originally written for Kevin Spacey, co-writer Dean Devlin's friend from high school. An executive at Fox refused to cast Spacey, insisting he didn't have the potential to be a big star. Wow, were they wrong. The part was rewritten for Bill Pullman when he was cast in the role.
Because he turned out to be a big star. Bill Pullman did, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's probably bigger than Bill Pullman now. He's still doing stuff.
No, it's being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah, no, I get it. I'm just saying. I agree with you. It's
Kevin Spacey is big.
Yeah, he's definitely big. Shot in 72 days, an unusually short period of time for such a big blockbuster.
Yeah, that is short.
Yeah. Dean Devlin and Roland Emmerich penned the script in 4 weeks. It was sent out on a Thursday and started fielding offers the next day. By Monday, they were in pre-production. Wow. So
nice.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Deleted scenes, replayed ass. You know, I don't even worry about that. There's a whole bunch more stuff. But that's about it. Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears, which originally picked to play during the scene at SETI before it was replaced by REM's It's the End of the World as We Know It, which makes more sense, yeah.
Yeah, but either song works.
The White House, which exploded, was built 1/12 scale just to be blown up. Although it was used in one other shot when David and Julius stop at the car in front of the White House, 9 cameras filmed the explosion at various speeds, one of which was 12 times faster than normal, then played back at normal speed to make the explosion seem larger and slower on film.
Okay.
Cool. Bill Pullman used the memory of a decayed tooth, which was pulled from his mouth, in order to come up with the terrified expression when speaking with the alien invaders.
Okay.
Whatever
you're going to use.
Yeah, right. Alien spacecraft in Area 51 was a full-scale model featuring measuring 65 feet wide. That's cool. Mm-hmm. See, they don't do that stuff anymore. I guess they did for the new Star Wars, but for the most part, they don't do that stuff anymore. So that's cool.
Yeah.
What do you think of the performances in this as far as like...
Bill Pullman is fairly believable.
Yeah.
There was a line in Wyatt Earp where his character is referred to as affable, and he has that quality about him. So even though he was supposedly a president that was, you know, not very popular, he still had that affable.
Every man quality to him. Yeah.
So I didn't buy the people wouldn't like him. I think he would just have that kind of face and personality that people would like him.
Yeah.
But his performance was fine. That speech gave me chills when I first heard it.
Yeah, it was a very good speech.
Will Smith is hit and miss with me.
Will Smith was still in his Fresh Prince days.
He's over the top.
Yep.
I thought Harry Connick's performance was really good. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very underrated actor.
I think so too, yeah.
Trying to think. Vivica Fox always plays Vivica Fox.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of...
I liked Jeff Goldblum and Judd Hirsch. I thought they played well off each other.
They had good chemistry. Yeah. Judd Hirsch... You know, I never watched Taxi. My only point of reference with him is Ordinary People.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was fun. Nice to see him in a little more lighthearted kind of a role.
Yeah.
And like you said, some of his delivery and lines was, you know, pretty spot on.
Mm.
So I liked his performance. You know, Mary McDonald, she didn't have much to do.
No, she didn't. Yeah. She had maybe 20 minutes of stuff, and then she was hurt the rest of the movie. Exactly. So, yeah.
Exactly. But for Randy Quaid was, I don't know if his performance was great, but it was a great character for him to play.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, he didn't have to work too hard, but it still was a likable character.
Yeah.
You know.
Bad casting on the kids, though. I don't know where the hell they cast
it. Redneck Drunk.
Yeah, Redneck Drunk has a kid that looks like Keanu Reeves and another daughter that looks nothing like him. It's like, wow. Right. I guess it could be, you know.
Milkman.
Or, yeah, well, that's other mother type thing.
Postman.
Right, right.
You know, growing up, we used to say milkman, but nobody knows what a milkman is anymore.
No. Wow.
No.
I guess now it's the UPS guy. I don't remember ever having a milkman.
We lived in these one apartments, and I remember seeing milk, and it was in the jars.
Awesome.
It was cool.
No, when I was a kid in the border town of Mexico, Eagle Pass, in summers, we had an ice guy that would drive around and bring like big blocks of ice to the house.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because I guess a lot of people didn't have freezers that did at that time or something.
Well, they had ice boxes.
That's
from,
Yeah. So that was what I remember, but I don't remember the milk coming. Yeah. So
it was cool. You open your door, there's newspaper and a bottle of chocolate milk and a bottle of white milk. They would even deliver eggs and butter. It was cool.
Not weird.
Yeah, it was real cool.
I wonder why they.
I think it was Borden. I think it was Borden's that was doing it.
I remember Schwann's. Remember Schwann's? They'd drive around, drop off all the ice cream and food and stuff. We did that for a while.
Yeah.
Then it got expensive. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
It does.
It does. So Independence Day, what are you doing for this Independence Day? You doing anything?
Probably hanging with my brother and his wife and her daughter.
Yeah. We're going to do family thing, go see some fireworks, and I'll probably, grill out something. Grill out some steaks or some ribs or something like that.
And then just kind of chill, relax.
Yeah.
This next 4 weeks, counting the show, is all travel.
Yes, it is.
So, yeah. I'm going to enjoy my 3-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any events this week, do you?
I do. I have a thing tomorrow.
But not over the weekend.
Though. No, nothing over the weekend. I wanted to take 3 days, so I'm taking Monday to chill. I'm making all my phone calls for the following week on this Friday, so I've got, everybody knows I'm coming.
Yeah, exactly.
So next week I'm in Arizona, which is going to be hot as balls, and then the next 2 weeks after that I'll be in Texas, basically. Yep. So
gotcha.
Are you going to be in?
I'm going to be in Missouri, and then Houston, and then San Antonio, and then the show.
Wow.
In Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Bright light city.
You ready for that? You going to do some gambling?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the show we're talking about, if you don't know, we're both reps for cigar brands, and there's a big show that they do every year, supposedly. We don't know if it's going to happen next year, but it's called the IPCPR show, and it's basically the big show where all the people that come out, the manufacturers go out and show all the new stuff, the retailers go out and buy all the new stuff, and it's a good way to network and, get some FaceTime with everybody.
Yep, absolutely.
It's a big to-do over in Vegas, and it's a very, very fun event. A lot of work, but a lot of fun at the same time.
Yeah. Well, the key is to go to a casino because they pump all that oxygen in there, even though they say they don't.
Yeah.
So that'll keep you awake and that'll get you going again.
Yep.
It'll be weird. I've never slept in Vegas, really.
Yeah.
Seems like an hour or two at a time, and then I'm like up and ready to go again,
What did you do last year? Did you sleep last year?
Oh, in New Orleans? Hell
yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking about in Vegas.
You didn't do the year before? That wasn't in Vegas?
Okay. No.
I guess that was my first year.
Yeah, you did Vegas. Yeah.
And then, So last year the show was in New Orleans. It was I don't know. It's different in New Orleans. It's not as fun, I think.
Right.
Everybody kind of goes their separate ways. You don't get to hang out as much. So I'm definitely looking forward to it being back in Vegas.
Vegas will be cool.
So if you guys are in the industry or you're going to be out there, definitely come see us at our booths. I'll be at the Nat Sherman booth. And
I'll be at Christoph.
Yep. So come check us out, and we're going to do a whole bunch of smoking and drinking and having a good time.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, going to be badass.
Come say hello.
Definitely come say hello.
Ask for our autographs in front of our bosses. That'd be fun.
Right. Oh, you don't know Randy Rankin?
Dude, that's Brandon Luna. Right? I know Brandon Luna.
That'd be great.
That'd be fun. So you are going to see the new one?
I am. I just don't know if I'm going to go necessarily see it in the theater. I'm going to go see Finding Dory this weekend. I'll go see that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't foresee going to see this in the theater. If I do, it'll be deep discount, dollar theater, or like an early showing if I'm, out on the road or something like that. But other than that,
okay.
You?
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll see it. Probably not theater.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, it's probably one you should see in the theater because it's a big spectacle. I don't know.
Blu-ray and an HD TV. I mean,
it's kind of hard to beat nowadays.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to beat.
Yeah, and you can pause it to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
Make a drink.
You got any good stories about previous Independence Days for you, like 4th of July stories, blowing yourself up or anything?
No, there was one tradition, Grapevine. We were in the Dallas area, for people that don't know. There's a city, Grapevine, that's exploded. It's huge now. When I was a kid, the only thing in Grapevine really was Grapevine Lake. And you could shoot fireworks out there.
Okay.
And so we would, we were a poor family. And so we'd go to the grocery store, get a big cooler, go to the grocery store. And remember, what were they called? Shastas?
Oh, yeah.
Shasta soda?
Oh, yeah.
And they had like black cherry and orange and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like 10 for a buck back then. So we'd load up the cooler because my parents didn't drink and we were kids. Load up the cooler with all these different sodas. And my mom would make sandwiches and we'd buy potato chips and cookies and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we'd get out there, we'd lay the a blanket on the hood of the car or have lawn chairs and then shoot off while my dad would shoot the firecrackers and stuff or fireworks.
Yeah.
And that was fun. We did that 3 or 4 years when I was a kid and I loved that. Those are some of my favorite 4th of July memories. How about you?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of those. I spent a lot of my 4th of July's over in that border town, Eagle Pass, and there is nothing there but dirt and cactus and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you could pretty much do fireworks anywhere you wanted.
Right.
So we would go crazy and just get like a crap ton of fireworks and sit out there at the front, you know, in the cul-de-sac and just fire off everything we could possibly fire off. And it was always depressing to get the ones that you really wanted to get, like the little, I want the tank. I want the tank. And it just like doesn't roll at all and just blows up and you're like, oh, crap. You know?
Yeah.
But the one that I remember that always sticks in my brain, and this was actually the 5th of July. So after the 4th of July, as you're a kid, you know, you've probably done this before. You go, you run around looking for the stuff that didn't fire off. Like, I'm going to find a whole bunch. Yeah. It's like, you know, because you'd light the whole thing and it would fire off, but there'd probably be 3 or 4 that wouldn't, you know, catch fire or blow up. See, we'd collect all those. We'd go around the neighborhood and just try and find all the ones that didn't blow up.
Oh,
and we'd put them in a big pile and set them on fire and then they'd pop or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What we did, which we thought was a great idea, was we were hiding in the bushes. And we would light these fireworks and throw them at cars that were passing by.
Oh, that was smart.
Yeah, real smart. Especially when a car passes by and the window's open and it goes right in the car.
No. Oh,
so
no.
I throw this one. I don't hear it go off. And we're like giggling and laughing. All of a sudden you hear just like a little bitty like that. And the car goes right at the stop sign. And the guy starts backing up and like I jump out of that bush. He runs over the bush like he would have killed me if I didn't get out of that bush.
Oh my God.
So me and my friends were like hauling ass, like jumping fences, this guy is following us in his car, cursing up a blue streak. And we finally like get to a clearing. We run over to this church. We run inside this church. Luckily, it's open. And he runs in there cursing and screaming and stuff. And the priest comes over and he's like, sir, you're going to have to calm down. And, you know, talks him down basically. And there's nobody in here. We're like hiding behind the pews and stuff. And, you know, and he finally talks the guy out and he's like, all right, come here. And we're like, oh, crap. He's like, what'd you do? Told him, he's like, that's not good. And call your parents. I'm like, oh, don't call my parents. So that was the one, like, almost near-death experience on the 5th of July for me that I'll always remember. So, sir, if you're out there, I'm sorry. And also, you almost killed me, so screw you.
I would have wrecked my car if I'd have been driving and a firecracker went off while I was driving.
Right.
I'd have been swerving all over the road, man.
Yeah, that's what he did. He almost, like, ran into a damn stop sign. But
I'd have done the same thing though. I would have hunted you down.
Yeah, I probably would do the same thing now. Yeah. Road rage is a real thing, and especially if that happens, you get a firecracker thrown in your
car.
That's
funny.
Jeez.
I did have a bottle rocket near miss.
Yeah.
My dad let me light one, and I leaned over too far, and he was just getting ready to tell me to pull my head back when I saw that it ignited, and I pulled my head back just in time to feel the graze of go right through my hair.
Yeah.
I didn't catch fire, but I felt the graze. I don't know if it was the wind or what, but I felt something rub against my hair.
Yeah.
Scared the crap out of me. I'm like thinking my hair is on fire. I'm smacking my head.
To, you know. We did some stupid crap when I was a kid. We also would get a whole bunch of people together. And this is back when I was in New Braunfels. This is many years later. I was probably like a middle school, freshman, high school, something like that. And we'd get all the firecrackers, the bottle rockets, and we'd basically line up. We'd have like a group on one side and we'd on the other side. We'd light them and just like throw them at each other and try and dodge them and stuff like Matrix style, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I had one friend of mine that was like always worried about, I'm going to get hit in the head. I'm going to get hit in the head. So he took his dad's motorcycle helmet and stuck it over his head. And he was, you know, dodging back and forth and they'd bounce off his helmet. He was like, oh, see, it works. Well, one time a friend of mine throws one. It like hits the floor and bounces up and went in the helmet and popped his helmet. And he like threw it off and was like screaming bloody murder. And he's like grabbing his ears. He's like, I'm dying. He's rolling around the ground. We're like,
oh, God.
So, yeah, that kind of ended that day.
This is off topic, but this was in my head and it's funny.
Yeah.
I was watching Ridiculousness the other day.
Yeah.
And this guy's holding a soda can in between his palms.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's got a samurai sword.
Oh, that's going to end badly.
And he's like going to chop the can in half.
Oh, God.
So he swings hard.
Yeah.
Well, the guy drops the can, and he's screaming. And the guy's like, I didn't cut you. And he goes, yeah, you did. And he holds up. His pinky is dangling on the side of his hand.
Oh, crap.
They were able to get it sewed back on. But, I think they said 86 stitches later or something. But, you see the guy, I didn't cut you. It's like gross.
stupid crap
you
do.
Dumbass, yeah. Hold a can with a samurai sword.
So I think there's a time in your life when you're a kid and you feel invincible that you do a lot of stupid shit, and then you have about, I don't know, 10, maybe 5, 6 years where you don't do stupid shit like that, where you're like, well, I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
And then you get to drinking age, and then the stupid shit starts again. So exactly. I think that happens like
exactly.
A lot of those are like post-drunk ass things that you do. Yeah. And just.
I'm glad I never did that kind of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I stayed away from sharp things when I'm drunk. That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Stay away from sharp things. Yeah. That needs to be a bumper sticker for some college students.
Exactly.
Welcome to Baylor. Stay away from sharp things when you're drunk.
Ooh, wow. Too soon on Baylor.
Yeah.
They're in the news. Not in a good way.
I know. Jeez. So what's with all the deaths this year, man? 2016's been just like a shitty year.
Today, Scotty Moore, Elvis' guitar player, one of the great original rock and roll guitar players. Especially music, man. It's been horrible music.
It has been a bad music
Scotty
year,
Moore.
A lot of sports guys, too, though. I mean, a lot of sports coaches and whatnot. Yeah. It's just like they're all dropping like flies.
Yeah.
All our heroes
Buddy
are dying,
Ryan,
man.
Buddy Ryan's certainly not a hero of mine. But well-known, legendary, Pat Summitt.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Winningest college basketball coach of all time.
I know.
Crazy. And Bowie and, man, it's just been a horrible year.
Yeah. Well, so that needs to stop. Hopefully we'll put a kibosh to that. And
well, we're about to start the second half of this year, so maybe that'll be a much
more
positive.
I wonder if we need to look and see if there's a Deadpool going in Vegas while we're there. Like, who's up on the list to die next?
It's funny you mention that. On the sports station I listened to today, they've got Johnny Manziel on a Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's off the rails. Yeah.
He's about to go to jail, so I think depression might set in. And
A little self something.
You know, and I hope not. I mean, I don't like the guy, but I want to see people straighten their lives out.
Exactly. Yeah, you like those success stories, the comebacks, not when they do something stupid.
I'm gonna go off the deep end. So I was gonna say something real quick, and then I guess we can wrap this up.
Okay.
But '96. If you thought about the movies from '96, that was a hell of a good year for movies. You had Scream.
Mm-hmm.
You had Independence Day. Tin Cup was still widely popular. That was a huge hit that year. I had two or three more that just completely went out of my mind. But that was just some really good, I don't know, maybe it's the year I got with my wife, so we were going to the movies a lot. And so some of those movies from that year really stand out to me.
Yeah.
You got a list coming up?
I'm trying to here. So box office for the year. So Independence Day won the year.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Number two is Twister.
That was a fun movie.
Yeah.
I saw it the other day, parts of it. It does not age well, no.
Mission Impossible was number three. Okay. Jerry Maguire was number four, so two in a row there for Tom Cruise. Five was Ransom.
Oh, that was a great movie.
That was a great movie, 101 Dalmatians was number six, the live-action one. Number seven was Welcome to the Rock, which was a great
movie.
Flick. Yeah, yeah, Nutty Professor, very good year for Eddie Murphy. The Birdcage is number nine. And number ten, A Time to Kill.
Oh, yeah. See, it was a great year.
And then 11 after that, First Wives Club, which I've never seen and I never will.
I had to watch it with my wife.
12, was it horrible?
It's chick.
12 was a phenomenon. The one with John Travolta.
I don't like John Travolta, but that was a good movie.
Entertaining movie. Scream was number 13. Eraser, probably one of the worst Schwarzenegger movies, was number 14. Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Disney thing, was 15. So, yeah, you got a lot in here. Star Trek First Contact was a good one for them. Broken Arrow, Beavis and Butthead Do America, Jingle All the Way, Cable Guy, Courage Under Fire, Executive Decision, which I thought was one of the better
Kurt Russell movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Steven Seagal died like real early in that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like he went out pretty quickly. It's like, hey, he's dead. Yay. Tin Cup was in there. It's number 28.
Yeah.
Dragonheart was kind of fun. Evita, ugh. Romeo and Juliet, One Fine Day. Happy Gilmore, so good year for
Adam Sandler.
For him. Mars Attacks. So, yeah, I mean, you had a shit ton of good movies that year. Daylight, Long Kiss Goodnight. Sergeant Bilko. That's a
very underrated Steve Martin movie. It's not
that's
a great
fun.
Movie. But
it's fun. I like Steve. There's very few Steve Martin movies that I won't sit down and watch.
You woke me for reveling.
right. Spy Hard.
That was my first date with my wife. Spy Hard, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of good movies that year, yeah. So yeah. Sling Blade was that year, too. Fargo. Holy crap. What a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a real good year. Multiplicity was fun, too.
Yeah.
And then you had a lesser Steven Seagal movie, The Glimmer Man, which was crap.
Never saw it.
Ooh, Kazam.
Oh, boy.
That made the top 100. That's really sad.
That is sad.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good year for movies.
Yeah, very good year for movies.
Yeah.
So, like I said, last episode for Cigars in Cinema, but we're going to retitle it as Cigars and Cinema, and it's just going to be us talking about movies and BS and smoking cigars, and we're not going to really review cigars, but we'll tell you what we're smoking and that type of thing. But it's going to be more guy talk and, you know, current events and that type of thing. So stick with us. We're probably not going to change the name on the feed or anything like that because that gets confusing, but you'll just know now that it is Cigars and Cinema, and it's still Randy and Brandon talking about movies and bullcrap.
Stuff.
Yep. So stick with us. As always, it's been great smoking with you guys.
See you later, Brandon.
See you later, Randy.